This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
It is 9 minutes past eight on your Thursday with Rach and Dean.
We are joined by Cal from Thorn Harbour Health this morning on the show, a week earlier than normal when we have you in, and for a very special reason. On Sunday morning, long-standing activist and founding president of the Victorian AIDS Council, now Thorn Harbour Health, Phil Carswell, OAM, died peacefully at his home in Brisbane. And the entire week, we have seen people remembering him on social media, and that's something that's going to happen tonight on Well, 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 tonight as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to do a tribute show. It's actually surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, I should say, it's not the first tribute show I've done over the course of my time on Well, Well, Well. Been on Well, Well for nearly 10 years, so that's kind of fair enough. But part of it also has been a result of those legacy series that we've done on Well, 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 where we've looked at like Thorn Harbour's history or the Victorian AIDS Council's history. And it's interesting because someone was saying, oh, that's not as much like anchored in health and well-being, but that legacy obviously does touch in on our health and well-being, and we've been impacted by it. But because I've talked to so many people directly involved, and they're an aging population, you know, this is actually the second tribute show. But this one is particularly near and dear for me, I must say.
Now, obviously, legacy is very important, and we're talking someone who was there from the very beginning when it comes to Thorn Harbour Health. Do you know... Tell us about like Phil's starting time.
So Phil was, his activism, you know, when I spoke to him last year for the 40th anniversary, he actually cited going to a Vietnam War moratoriums when he was in, I guess, be the cusp of high school, so to speak. And that was the beginning of his social justice activism career, so to speak. And then when he was in uni, got involved in student unions, and then pretty much he's a fierce unionist, and he was part of the teachers union, and he was part of a group called the Gay Teachers Group that produced like the first booklet that I believe was called Young, Gay, and Proud. And it was on shelves in libraries and secondary schools for a period of time, and then during a more conservative government came down to some extent, and that vast oscillation between conservative and progressive governments definitely is something that is woven into kind of his career. But yeah, he started as the first president of the Victorian AIDS Council, of course, the first, as I said before, the Victorian AIDS Action Committee. And one of the things that I think is so interesting as I've interviewed folks around the response to HIV and AIDS here in Victoria is, you know, we have some colorful characters.
Oh, yeah.
And we have, you know, folks that can be, you know, we are not without disagreements amongst each other. But 40 years on, when I have interviewed folks and sort of talked about, and what was your work with like Phil like and whatnot, no one really has a bad thing to say about him, which I feel like there's something I'm missing here along the way, because really nobody, he was an incredible diplomat, I think, really good. You know, even I had even seen recent occasions where, you know, he was in forums or he's panel discussions where he may not have 100% agreed with someone else's views, but he took that in grace, and I didn't find out about it until the Uber, you know, mics are off, show's over, wow. And I would find out about it in this quiet way. And it wasn't even then was not, you know, it wasn't like he was coming for people or being really shady about it. He was, yeah, very, very graceful in that regard.
I think there's something we can all learn from that, can't we?
100%. I had just finished. I was part of the LGBTIQ leadership conference, and the news hit me just as we finished our weekend retreat. And I was actually just reflecting on the kind of leadership that I want. And Phil has always been someone I really looked up to, not literally because he was like 5'2", but like figuratively, I've always really looked up to Phil because I really admire that aspect. And I think part of that also comes from the fact that he was one of those peoples that straddled the gap between street activism and being part of that movement, but then working within systems of power and working because he went to go and work at the Department of Health. He was one of the first openly gay men alongside, I think it was Ian Fraser, who was employed to do HIV prevention. Really, well, AIDS prevention, because that's what we were talking about back in the 80s.
Wow. We're going to find out more about your connections with Phil. We are talking to Cal from Well, Well, Well about the death of legendary activist for social justice, Phil Carswell, OAM.
Joy.
I think that's a great song for this conversation that we're having right now. That was Thinking About Us, Danny Minogue with Autotune. It's 17 minutes past 8 on Joy Breakfast.
And we have Cal from Thorn Harbour and Well 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 joining us this morning as we remember Phil Carswell, OAM, who passed away peacefully in his home this past weekend.
Now, Cal, thinking about Phil and the OAM, I asked you off air, what does OAM stand for? Now, you said it's an Order of Australia medal. Was this for his activism work?
Yeah, specifically. Well, I think they acknowledge it for his contribution to community health, specifically HIV and AIDS.
Wow. I
don't know if they give OAMs specifically for activism, and they probably do, actually. But when I look up his listing, that's what comes up along the way. And yeah, you asked me before around, is it, you know, what does OAM stand for? And I had to get up to speed on this not too long ago, because just last month in February, Phil came down to be in Pride March with us. So we actually, as part of our the kind of finishing out our 40 years at Thorn Harbour, we had six living legends in, you know, convertibles, thanks to Moto Friends, coming down. So Phil was sat with Jamie Gardner, and both of them have an OAM. David Menadue was there. He has an OAM. But Ann Mitchell has an AO, which was actually slightly, is not the Australian Open, but is a slightly higher category because of her contribution around research and health and well-being.
So less letters means up higher. I must admit, the smile on Phil's face at Pride March was so wonderful and beautiful to see. He was so excited by it. I was just at the start of the parade route, and he was just so having so much fun in that car.
He was, you know, he really got to have the full St. Kilda experience during all of that. We put him up at the Prince of Wales Hotel, which for a lot of folks that have been part of the LGBTIQ community, that has been a queer space. Mm. The east side of the bar for the longest time. If you walk into the Prince of Wales, you actually see the doormat on the east side, I think it is, still has a rainbow,
yeah.
Whereas the other side is normal. And that's because when it used to have a wall up the middle, that was the side of the bar that was the sort of gay bar, even if it wasn't spoken, because I think it was that way since like the 1930s or 40s.
Yeah. We feel pretty blessed as well, because when Thorn Harbour had their 40th anniversary last year, Phil came into the show and joined us, which was absolutely lovely. And I've got a little bit of audio from that chat that I'm going to play for us right now.
No social media.
No.
No for iPhones. No computers. It was all done by a telephone tree.
Yeah. Wow.
We just rang two people, and they rang two people, and they rang, but so on. The first motion we passed was to be presumed, somewhat presumptuously, that we would declare ourselves the sole voice of the Victorian gay community on AIDS. And everybody believed us. So
everyone just went with it.
Yeah, well, you had the information, so yeah.
So the media started calling us. The politicians, advisors started calling us. Other community organisations started calling us. And it just rolled on from there. The reason why we wanted one voice was because already in Sydney, and I'm not slagging off Sydney at all.
Maybe a little bit.
They had to form a federation, because they had a number of established organisations driven by personalities who sometimes, most of them, didn't get along.
I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same, I guess, don't they?
Well, the Sydney Gay Counselling Service had just received its first state government grant for counselling. So they thought they should be the people who do AIDS counselling. And other people said, no, it's quite a specific skill. So anyway, there was territory wars, and basically all these groups had to learn how to work together. And they had something like three presidents in 3 years, just because of the God Almighty fighting that was going on. At the same time, unfortunately, Sydney had a flood of clients who were very sick.
Yeah.
We formed, and we didn't have a client for 8 months.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
Which gave us time to organise, to train our carers, to train whoever we needed to train. We set up an office, even though it was about the size of this studio, literally.
We've got roomy studios now. This is bigger than what we're used to.
Okay. Well, imagine a little room in a basement with one chair, one table, one rotary dial phone, and a Rolodex and a filing cabinet, and that was us.
That was Phil Carswell when Thorn Harbour had its 40th anniversary last year. Joining us on Joy Breakfast, we had the most amazing chat about the history of the organisation and the fight towards creating a better, safer space for people living with HIV.
Yeah, it's interesting when you hear about the sort of networks, the communication channels that they had to work with, which I think, you know, I'm going to talk to Adam Carr tonight on Well, Well, Well. And when I interviewed him as part of that series last year, he was saying that that was actually, you know, on one hand, you think, oh, that sounds really challenging from a communications front, but it was actually, in a way, logistically a little bit easier because there weren't as many channels. You weren't managing Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email, you know.
Someone did a comment and you don't know where it is exactly. And what are you doing? Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, in an age of social media, the proliferation of like just false information and fake news, and that that was just not something they were dealing with at that time. But at the same time, you know, you had very limited channels, so you had to really try to maximize the most you could on really limited resources.
I can imagine it would be really difficult to kind of narrow down the field of what tonight's Well, Well, Well show is going to be, you know, because there's only so much time that you have and there's so much content that you could come to talk about. Do you feel really blessed about the fact that, you know, Phil was here last year as a part of Thorn Harbour Health, here during Pride March as well, and is, you know, has been such an amazing part of our communities?
You know, it's one of those things. In short, yes. Absolutely.
I don't want short. Come on,
The long is, though, is that, you know, I feel really fortunate that, you know, I did the VAC Legacy series 5 years ago for Well, 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 and I got to talk to so many of those people because now some of them are no longer with us. Mm. I remember Tony Maynard was a person that not a lot of people may know, but he was, you know, he was another person who passed away when we were actually doing the storyboard for the original VAC Legacy series. And that really, Tony always sits as a reminder to me that if you don't collect these stories, you don't have forever. Mm. And after we aired the VAC Legacy series, Jim Hyde died soon after. And so we did, that was the last tribute show I did. And I think what I find so halting, I guess, about Phil is because Phil, like I said, he was kind of, to use an American anecdote, he was sort of our George Washington at Thorn Harbour. He was the first one. He didn't have, you know, there isn't anyone quite like him in the landscape. But yeah, we're so fortunate. We had, Phil got to speak, we had the Ruby Red Ball at Melbourne Town Hall, and we're going to revisit that speech. That was a really powerful speech about his reflections about who was in the room and who was no longer in the room and thinking about that. And then, yeah, we had the interviews as well with the Community Living Legends series that we did last year. Yeah, we actually have quite a bit documented. And what's also interesting is I think Phil flagged this when he was on Breakfast last time, but he actually just finished his book. And so that's actually, that's going to be, yeah, wow. I mean, that he got that done. So the transcript of that, I believe, is with Melbourne Uni Publishing at the moment. But that'll be something I know that Thorn Harbour is really interested in. And a lot of community members that are part of that legacy will be really interested to see still get published.
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned your personal experience getting to know Phil, especially sitting in an Uber after the event as well and hearing him debrief. What has this news been like for you and reaching out to his partner that he is survived by, Ian, as well?
Look, I'm not going to lie. I was pretty devastated. Like I said, I really, I saw Phil as a bit of a unofficial mentor and role model for me. And yeah, I was pretty heartbroken to hear the news, so to speak. And I had a drive back from Lancefield back to Melbourne soon after I heard it. And that was really good for me to sort of process and sit with that for a minute. And, you know, I've had experiences of losing someone close to me before. So I've kind of, grief isn't a new thing for me. But I've been thinking a lot about grief, especially with this generation that I'm working with around this, because we're, Thorn Harbour is working on plans for memorial fulfillment. What does that look like? Because he was based in Queensland now and has been in Queensland for some time. Mm. But of course, you know, has a huge legacy and a huge network of people here in Melbourne as well. And I'm mindful that I'm working with a generation of people that had a lot of practice with grief.
Yeah.
That buried a lot of their friends at a very young age, that saw a lot of their colleagues, you know, folks that they worked with. And, you know, we have some of those thoughts and reflections from that time from a host of people that were part of that legacy series. But it's something I'm trying to be really mindful of and really sensitive of, that like I allow myself to grieve because I've, you know, gotten to know Phil for the last 10 years. But like I'm talking to Adam Carr tonight. Adam Carr and him met, I think, in university. They've known each other for 50 years. Mm. And that's, you know, that's a next level thing that I can't quite comprehend. So yeah, there's that sensitivity around grief, but then also just like, I think I've had enough experiences to start to understand giving space for grief and what that looks like. And that will look so different for different people.
Yeah. If you are struggling with grief and with the hearing this news, because it's big for our whole community, please head to joy.org.au/support, where there are options, including Thorn Harbour Health on there as well.
I think it's also really important to remember that everyone experiences grief in a different way. Just like you said, creating space for that is so important, and it can mean something different for everyone. There are many people who are listening right now who may have only heard of Phil or know about Phil or heard Phil on the radio or things before or know about the legacy that Phil has created, but it still doesn't mean that Phil hasn't touched them and they can feel that loss as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had some really wonderful feedback, getting back to your initial question around having that content available. When I first heard about it, I actually posted with pictures of me and Phil from, you know, when we were in studio and at Pride March, things like that. I also posted a link to the last interview that I did with him. And I actually had a couple people message me who I'd never met before, a woman in Queensland who knew Phil mostly through his advocacy for people living with kidney disease, because his career went on.
Yeah.
And he went into advocate, especially for, you know, patient advocacy. And she said she just saw so much of that legacy. She said how wonderful it was to hear that, because it made so much sense around how that had formed his contemporary work as well.
Wow.
And yeah, tonight on Well, 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 it's going to be a really special episode remembering Phil Carswell, OAM, who passed away this past weekend. Everyone, please tune in. It is at 9 o'clock.
That's
I got the time right for once. I always get it wrong. Well, Well, Well is an absolutely amazing show. You're on Joy Brekke with Rach and Dean.
The team on Well, Well, Well has been helping our LGBTIQ communities look after their health and well-being for more than 800 episodes. From interviews with world-class clinicians and researchers to deep dives into sexual health, mental health, and so much more, Well, Well, Well offers unvarnished conversation and removes the stigma from health topics that matter to our communities. Tune into Well, Well, Well every Thursday from 9 p.m. or download the podcast on your favourite platform or at joy.org.au/wellwellwell. Well, Well, Well is proudly sponsored by Thorn Harbour Health.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.